Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Today we're going to talk about the seven characteristics of a kingly anointing. Number one, honoring God as the ultimate authority of the nation.
Psalm 63, verse 11. Psalm 63:11 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him, that is, who binds himself by God's authority, acknowledging his supremacy and devoting himself to his glory and service alone, every such one shall glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies shall be stopped."
The king is to be very vocal and visible. Well, vocal and, let's say, visual in his recognition of God as the source of ultimate authority in the nation. From the very beginning, most American presidents have recognized God as the ultimate authority in leading this nation. President George Washington once said, "It is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible." And listen to this other quote from President Washington, who said, "Do not let anyone claim to be a true American if they ever attempt to remove religion from politics."
Wow, think on that. Number two, governing the affairs of the people. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 4. Ecclesiastes 8, 4 in the Amplified Bible says, "For the word of a king is authority and power, and who can say to him, what are you doing? A wise king like Solomon desired the wisdom of God in governing the people more than anything else." In 1 Kings 3, verses 11 and 12, 1 Kings 3, 11 and 12 in the New Living Translation, it gives us God's response to King Solomon. "So God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for." At times, the king would delegate his authority to someone he trusted to care for the people, as in Genesis 41:39. Genesis 41, verse 39 in the New Living Translation, it says, "So Pharaoh said to Joseph, you're the man for us. God has given you the inside story. No one is as qualified as you in experience and wisdom. From now on, you're in charge of my affairs. All my people will report to you. Only as king will I be over you." And again in Esther, chapter 10, verse 3. Esther 10, verse 3 in the New Living Translation says, "Mordecai the Jew ranks second in command to King Xerxes. He was popular among the Jews and greatly respected by them. He worked hard for the good of his people. He cared for the peace and prosperity of his race." You know, it's interesting to us that both Pharaoh and King Xerxes put a Jew in as their second in command. Even heathen kings can recognize the power of God working through his children.
Number three, protecting the nation against attacks of the enemy. God wanted to be, well, he wanted to be king over Israel, but the people wanted a king they could see, even though his power was useless without God behind him. But from the very first king in Israel, it's clear the people wanted a king to protect them against their enemies. 1 Samuel 8:19 in the Message Bible. But the people wouldn't listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we will have a king to rule over us. Then we'll be just like all the other nations. Our king will rule over us and lead us and fight our battles." That sure is wrong.
Number four, providing tithes and offerings to the priest. 2 Chronicles 24:11. 2 Chronicles 24:11 in the New Living Translation says, "Whenever the chest became full, the Levites would carry it to the king's officials. Then the court secretary and an officer of the high priest would come and empty the chest and take it back to the temple again. This went on day after day, and a large amount of money was collected. The king was the one who made sure there was provision through tithes and offerings for the priest and temple maintenance. The king, too, was expected to do his part.
Number five, collecting the spoils of war. The prize for every battle fought and won by his king and men were the spoils of war. 1 Chronicles 26:27. 1 Chronicles 26:27, New King James Version. Out of the spoils won in battle, did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord? One of our favorite passages is how God directed and delivered not only a great victory to King Jehoshaphat, but the spoils of war as well. 2 Chronicles 20:25. 2 Chronicles 20:25. And the New Living Translation says, King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. A king must always obey his ultimate authority, our great God Jehovah, if he wants to be successful.
Number six, obeying the instructions and direction of God. Honey, it's amazing what a nation can do when they obey the instructions
Absolutely.
And directions of God. And that is part of the characteristics of kingly anointing. It says the king is to set the standard for obedience in the kingdom. People will always imitate the excellent lifestyle and leadership provided by their king. In 2 Kings 23:25 in the New Living Translation, it says, never before had there been a king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all his heart and soul and strength, obeying all the laws of Moses. 1 Kings 11:37 in the Message Bible says, but I have taken you in hand, rule to your heart's content. You are to be the king of Israel. If you listen to what I tell you and live the way I show you and do what pleases me, following directions and obeying orders as my servant David did, I'll stick with you no matter what. I'll build you a kingdom as solid as the one I built for David. Israel will be yours. Whatever the king does, sets the tone for what the people will do.
I'll show you. If you listen to what I tell you, and live the way I show you, and do what pleases me, following directions and obeying orders as my servant David did, I'll stick with you no matter what. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Number seven, settling disputes among his people. The one thing a king should want more than anything else is for wisdom to rule his kingdom.
Notice, honey, the progression of 1 Kings 3:3-4. 1 Kings 3, starting with verse 3 and then 4, it says, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar.
Yes. First, the king brings an offering.
That's right. 1 Kings 3:5 says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee.
Second, God appeared to Solomon in a dream the night after he made his presentation of multiple offerings and asked him what he, God, could do for him.
In 1 Kings 3:9, in the Classic Amplified Bible, 1 Kings 3:9, it goes on to say, so give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge and rule this your great people?
Honey, the third thing King Solomon did was to ask God for wisdom.
Hallelujah. Next, exactly, in 1 Kings 3, verse 10. Going on, 1 Kings 3, verse 10 in the New Living Translation. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom.
Fourth, not only did King Solomon's offering please God, but his request for wisdom did as well.
And then finally, in 1 Kings 3, verse 11 through 14, it says in the New Living Translation, so God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice, and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you ask for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life.
By giving a proper offering, by asking for wisdom, King Solomon received riches, fame, and a long life. All by obeying and honoring God.
Think of that.
The test of the king's wisdom came in 1 Kings 3. 16 through 27. 1 Kings 3, 16 through 27. When the two women living under the same house appeared unto Solomon claiming to be the mother of one child. Using his God-given wisdom, he was able to discern right from wrong, truth from a lie.
1 Kings 3, verse 28 says, when all Israel heard the king's decision, the people were in awe of the king, for they saw the wisdom of God had given him for rendering justice. Ah, to have that kind of wonderful wisdom.
I know. In this teaching, we can clearly see that a king and a priest are both known for their obedience to God's divine direction. Now, here's some great news for everybody. That kingly and priestly anointing that we've read about, both of them are available to you today.
We are called to be kings and priests.
Absolutely.
And you know, we are kings and priests in our own home and often given more responsibility and authority in other places to be able to set a godly example for other people by the model of our lifestyle, obeying and discerning the truth and the wisdom of
there's
Him.
There's distinct differences and the anointing of a king and a priest.
That's true.
The priest has the vision. Mm. And the king provides a provision.
That's right.
For that vision. And that's important.
They work together.
That's why sometimes people in church, a businessman gets saved, and the pastor tries to get them off to Bible college or get them out of their field. But really, God may have called them to provide provision
mm-hmm.
for that priest, that pastor's vision.
That's right.
Something to think about. Hallelujah. Go to HaroldHeron.com. Check out this week's 2-minute video. If you've been blessed with the teaching, up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed He'd have you put in the ground. Do what He says.
That's all we ever had.
That's true. Well, until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.